Okay. You guys, I was sitting over there just marveling at you all. We've been coming a long time, right? And I feel very much family here. I feel very comfortable here. I feel we've come home. I mean, when I walk in the door of the Spencer's house, it's like, Mom, I'm home. Here's my laundry. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, I hadn't slept all week. And, you know, the first night we stayed with the Spencers, you know, I got up in the morning and Mary said, how was your night? I'm like, I slept like a baby because I felt like I was home in my bed. Up every 50 minutes, yeah, like a baby. No, but I was just marveling at the, you truly are your name, freedom. Sometimes a church will have a name and we'll walk in and we'll go, okay, they need to change their name because they are not what they say they are. But you guys move in such a freedom and such a joy of the Lord. Honestly, I was sitting there and I said to Tom, is this messy church Sunday? Because it feels a little bit like messy church. But I love the exuberance and the joy. But I do want to say, I promised Tom I would not preach, but I feel, I didn't, it wasn't a promise. Did I promise? I didn't promise. It was a mere comment. But I do, no, I'm going to leave. I promise. It's fine. I just have to say one thing. Listen. Brian said something in the beginning. You said something to the effect, Lord, we don't come just for what you'll give us, but also from what you'll take from us. And that's an interesting statement because what does the Lord take from? I think that can make you very nervous. What are you going to take from me, Lord? What are you going to remove from me? And, you know, I thought as a parent and as a grandmother, I often, if I see a child, if I saw Liv over there picking up something dangerous, what would I do? I don't care whose kid it would, to be honest. I will leap and run to grab that thing. And something about that said, you know, reminded me of this. It reminded me of this quote from this Dutch Catholic priest. I'm always going to give your quotes. You're probably not going to hear anywhere else. But it's Henry Nguyen, if you've ever heard of him. He's a great man. And he said, perhaps the main task of a minister is to prevent people from suffering for the wrong reasons. Think about that. Isn't that our call? Is that we don't only proclaim Christ and encourage you to follow him and love him, but part of following him and loving him and being a believer is that we lay down certain things. In 1 Corinthians, Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, listen, all things are legitimate and legal. Once you're born again, listen, we're pretty free. God gives us great latitude. We know as believers, if we sin, and you know what sin is? Missing the mark. You blew it. You did what you knew not to do, that sin. Okay? You know in your heart what to do. And so this is saying, Paul is saying to them, listen, will God forgive you if you sin? You blow it? You do something stupid you know you shouldn't have done? Is he going to forgive you? Absolutely. Is that a reason to sin? No. And this is what this scripture says. All things are legitimate. This is from the Amplified Bible, Woman's Bible, way more words than necessary. All things are legitimate. They are permissible. And we're free to do really anything we please. But not all things are helpful, expedient, profitable, and wholesome. All things are legitimate, but not all things are constructive to our character and edifying to our spiritual life. And I'm sorry, it's my mini sermonette. Tom's coming up. I have so much more, but just wait till the next time I come. But I want to encourage you, if there's something today, the Lord is convicting your heart. The Holy Spirit is saying, listen, I'm always going to love you. I'm always going to be there for you. But if there's something right now in your life that sits in the darkest corners, you should have no dark corners. One more scripture. Okay, I just got to read this one more scripture about that, okay? And it says this, if you are filled with light with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as a floodlight. We're filling you with light. Jesus is the light. He came to shed light on the dark corners of your life. I'm going to ask you today, as Tom's preaching, and just examine your heart, as you should have done before you came up here. If there's something in your life the Lord is saying, I'd like to take that from you, would you please open your hands and give it to the Lord? Because it's also God's heart that you should not suffer unnecessarily. And missing the mark of God is when you open the door to suffering unnecessarily. Yeah, listen, this world has enough stuff that we're going to go through. You don't need to open it up to bring yourself more darkness in. Give it to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you. Hand it over to him and let him empower you and enable you to overcome it. Because he said, in this world you have troubles, but that's okay. Because I've overcome the world and I now live and reside in you. So together we will overcome this. Amen. 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 Mini sermonette. I'm done. That wasn't that long, right?
On the way over, when she said, "Oh, you're going to preach," I mean, "Yeah, right." Yes. I told you. You know, so, you know, I think it's really important for us to evaluate where we're at and what we're doing in the kingdom, because this is it's a time where it's going to take more than just a casual relationship with Jesus. You know, oh yeah, I know him. You know, it's like when you would say somebody to say to you, "Oh, do you know the mayor?" Oh yeah, I know who he is. But that, you know, that's not knowing him, right? That's just knowing about him. What you really want to do is you want to know that you know in your heart that person. And that this is what we're talking about. And today, you know, even in the whole area of letting Jesus turn on the light in the dark areas of our life and begin to bring about an illumination of who he is and what he is, it's really important. Have you ever heard people say, "Oh yeah, I tried that Christian thing, you know, it's okay, but I didn't really get anything out of it." Or even those who say, "Oh, I was a Christian before, but like that." And you can see it, you know, or even people who say they're believers, but you still see they're living under the oppression of life and they're depressed and, you know, they're the winners. We don't want to see the losers, you know, and it's just that point of it just isn't working, right? And I think a lot of times when we come to church, you know, we can sing, we can shout, we can jump up and down, but it's a lot of times it's here and it's not here. And even this morning, you could sense the Lord saying, "I'd like to make a, you know, 11 and a half inches move from here to here, or 33 centimeters if need be, you know, but it's just from here to here is what he wants to make that transitional move for each and every one of our lives, that this isn't just a visitation, but it's actually an inhabitation, right? And so in that, you know, it's like, what I'd like to share on that is that, you know, when we talk about Christianity, when we talk about coming to the Lord, it isn't joining a club. You know, it's not like you're all here this morning to hear about the Rotary or the Optimist, you know, or the Lions or whatever club you pick. You know, you're not here to hear about the benefits and all the parties we have and all the gatherings we have and your dues, you know, but we're here, you know, that's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for you to join a social group. We're looking for you to have an encounter with the living God. We're looking for you to come to a point of a piercing of the heart. You know, and the best way to describe that is how Paul describes it in Ephesians, and he's talking about marriage, all right? And he says, you know, the woman does this, the husband does this, and this is how you love, and this is how you serve. Everyone lays down their life for one another. It's a great union. Then he says this, you know, "I speak of a great mystery, but when I speak of marriage, I speak of Christ and his church." Now, when you think about marriage, it's a little bit different than just a casual relationship, right? I mean, that may take some of you by surprise, but it is true that once you're married, you're kind of in for the long haul. You know, that's how that works. You know, you're committed to the commitment. A lot of times people date Jesus. You know, are you going to go to church next week? Oh, maybe, unless some other God invites me out. You know, and we do that. The God of shopping, hunting, sport, recreation, slumber, etc. You know, we just like, you know, "I'm not going to do that. But, you know, hey, last time I went out with him, it was kind of good. We did little dance moves." You know, and we kind of enjoy that evening with him. And if we enjoyed the day, well, you know, yeah, I'd go out with him again if he invited me. And that's kind of a superficial, but yet, here we are. And so where'd you go? "Oh, yeah, I went out with God last week." And that's how that works. Well, I would say most of us here have probably gone a little bit beyond that. You know, you're not sacrificing cats in the basement anymore. And, you know, you're, you, I, Yeah, right. I'm sorry. All right, addicts. Okay, but you know, you've made a decision that Buddha and the boys and all the rest of them, they're really not the way to go. That you've really, you know, hey, okay, Jesus is cool. So we would use that comparison to like someone who's come from dating to engagement. Like, you know, hey, I got the ring. Yay. You know, the women go, eh. Men go, I got one. I'm not rejected. You know, that's how that works, you know. And you know, we begin to build that relationship a little bit deeper. We begin to walk in it a little bit more. You know, when you're engaged, when you're dating, you don't talk about, you know, all the, you know, stuff like kids and stuff like this. But when you're engaged, it's how many kids we're going to have, where you're going to live, how much money you're going to make, how much she's going to spend. You know, all this kind of stuff comes into, you know, into a rotation of your life that you begin to talk about things a little bit more seriously. And you become a little bit, you know, you are exclusive at that point. You don't, you know, you don't take a time out and go date somebody else. You're committed, right? But what we have found that most of the time people stop at that level of intimacy with the Lord. They stop at that level because they've got the ring. And so it's like, oh, it's shiny. I like it. And look at this. And so it kind of names you in the in crowd, in the non-rejected crowd, right? But in the same breath, it doesn't bring you into the crowd that Jesus says that he's going to become the what? The bride. We're the bride of Christ. He's the bridegroom. He's not coming back for his eternal fiance. He's coming back for his bride. True? So there has to be a transition in our thinking that we go from this superficial relationship, even beyond even the level of intimate relationship where we start talking about, and even as Susie and Brian suggested today, it's like, you know, when you're engaged, you say, okay, I won't do that anymore. You begin to correct your habits, right? Well, so we do that with the Lord too. All right, I won't get drunk anymore. You know, all right, I won't smoke dope anymore. All right, I won't cheat anymore. You know, that kind of an idea. And you begin to kind of clean up the relationship to bring you to the final conclusion. But in that conclusion, we never make that conclusion. And in that, there's a problem. In our societies today, in both of our nations, you know, promiscuity is, you know, acceptable. And people, oh yeah, they live together. Oh yeah, they sleep together. Oh yeah, they do this, they do that. And it's, you know, and so what's happened in that, and because of our social setting, people think that God is just as promiscuous. But he's not. God is strict. And he will not impart those things that we were talking about without the union of our spirits with him. Does that make sense? So you see, understanding this, that you can be engaged to Jesus, you ain't gonna get to sleep with him. If that's crude, but it's true. You understand what I'm saying? Is that if you want the fruit of being to a point of union with the Lord, you must make a decision and you must come to the conclusion that he is the Lord and he is the ruler of your life. Tick tock, the game's locked, nobody else gets in. He's my God. He will direct my life. He will lead my life. What he says goes. And I'm going to learn, just like Paul says, learn to live considerably with my partner. All right? That means this, and again, it isn't just asking Jesus to come into your heart as a fire insurance. Because nobody wants to go to hell, right? So listen, even if you don't, you know, we don't really believe in all the stuff, well, if you're going to get me out of hell, I'm in. You know, and so people will make a decision and ask Jesus into their heart for fire insurance. But it's not what it's for. How many of you want to get married just because you don't want to be the odd man out? Everybody else in my class got married. I need to get married. No, you don't want that. You want to get married because you found the one your heart loves. You want to get involved with that person and you want to be committed. And from that point on, you need to live considerably, you know, considerately with the person that you're walking with and you're talking with. You know, I can't just, you know, get up in the morning and do what I want to do and, you know, go where I want to go. I need to realize that I have a wife. And in that, I need to think about what's good for her, what my actions are going to bring about, so on and so forth. Like Paul says, I speak of a great mystery, but when I speak of marriage, I speak of Christ and his church. And in that, from the moment you get married, the I do is I'm in. I am committed 100%. And it isn't like, well, look, we're going to do a prenup. You know, so at the end of 5 years, if this didn't work, you go your way, I've done mine. No, you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound, right? This is how it works. You're in for the commitment of the commitment, and that's how it goes. And then from that moment on, every decision you make, every place you go, and everything you do must be contingent upon your spouse, which is Jesus at this particular point. Now, I understand we're not really married to him in that way, but the analogy bears, you know, weight. It carries through, and you need to understand that. And, you know, the Lord says what? I'm preparing my bride, and that's what he wants to do. So in that, I want you to see some things here as we look at this, that this is the transition that took place with the disciples. When the disciples first hung out with Jesus, first of all, they didn't know what the heck he was, right? You know, they go, you know, Jesus comes up to them and they say, hey, he says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Well, that was pretty radical. Now, why did they respond? Why did they go with Jesus right away? I think some of you heard this before, but, you know, when every good little Jewish boy comes of age, the head rabbi of the town comes to the village and he walks through the town and he gets all the boys together and he picks the kids that are going to go to temple school with him, right? They're going to be his proteges. They're going to be his students. And so he'll go, you know, this one, no, you know, and so understand that all the disciples had gone before a rabbi one other time, and every one of them had been rejected. They weren't the boys that were picked by the rabbi. All right? But now, this rabbi appears, and he says, I'll take you. Come and follow me. What? We're in? So suddenly, instead of being rejected, they're being accepted, and that's what we all want, right? So that immediate toe in their heart was there, and they went, I'm leaving the nets and I'm going to go follow this man. And so they're walking with Jesus. And have you ever noticed they weren't scholars and they weren't well trained in the things of the Spirit? Jesus would do something. They go, what? Are you kidding me? Where'd all this food come from? You know, this kind of an idea. Or, you know, they would go to the wedding and the wine thing, you know, is like, wow, I'm hanging with this guy forever. You know, and you know, the whole thing where he just blew their minds at things that were going on. Even in the boat one day, he's talking with him and he says, who do people say I am? Oh man, you should hear the things they're saying about you. Right? And they tell, oh, you're crazy. You're a prophet. You're, you know, this, that, and the other. Then he finally says this, who do you say that I am? Peter pipes up, and what does he say? You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And what does Jesus say? Whew. You know what, Pete? No one on earth revealed that to you. That was my Father in heaven. So with that, I'm going to tell you what. With that truth, that is the foundation of the church. That is the keys to the kingdom. And with that information, everything will be unlocked. Right? And then what? A few days later, he goes, I don't know the guy. Right? So, I mean, they're not very consistent in their union, right? So we go along and we have this whole thing and, you know, the whole denial of Christ, the disciples are hiding, their life is at threat. You know, this is not a good time to be a follower of Jesus. It was going to cost you your life. By the way, that hasn't changed, but at this particular time, they're looking to nail them to a cross. They're looking to stone them. They're looking to arrest them. They're looking to eliminate them. Because of this representation of God on planet Earth, right? So anyway, Jesus raises from the dead. And even that, have you thought about this? You know, they didn't even believe what they were told, were they? I mean, you know, Mary goes to the tomb to take care of the body. And Jesus reveals himself. And he goes, hey, where have you stolen the body? Give it back. And he goes, hey, it's just what I told you I would do. I've risen. Go and tell the boys. And they run. She goes, guess what? Just like he said, he's risen. What do they say? Oh, you got a hangover. You know, leave us alone. You know, you know, they didn't believe her. But then she said, no. So Peter and John, they ran, you know, and like I think Susie pointed out at the school, John always likes, and I outran him, you know, to the, you know, just, you know, he got there and they walk in and sure enough, the body's gone, right? And now they're pondering. They don't know what to think. Because, you know, the body's gone. But later on, time after time, Jesus walks through walls. Jesus appears in the room. Jesus speaks to them. He cooks them breakfast. You know, it's all these things. And this leads us up to Acts chapter 1. And in verse 4 it says this, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised you, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now again, the boys do the same thing. They're kind of wondering what's going on. And they gathered around him and said, Lord, at this time are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And, they're not thinking anything spiritual. It's all flesh. Like, hey, is this when we get to kick the Romans out and I get to live in Pilate's house? And, you know, this kind of an idea where they're looking to rule and reign under those circumstances right there. And then Jesus answers and he says this. He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the dates the Father set by his own authority. Okay. I just want to, this is for free on this one, but, you know, guys, don't waste your time worrying about doctrines that don't really measure up to anything. A lot of times we find ourselves dividing each other, arguing about things, deciding what is right and what is wrong because we're trying to split hairs. You know, we bat at gnats and swallow camels most of the time in the kingdom of God, where that we focus on things that have nothing to do with eternity. Nothing. And we by doing that, we divide ourselves from one another, and it causes us not to be productive in the kingdom of God. So he says, you know what, guys, this isn't any of our business. Don't worry about it. You know, Jesus Christ, him crucified and risen again, we can talk. That's the doctrine we want to believe in. He says, no, it's not for you to know the time or dates the Father put by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, listen, guys, everything's going to change now. Up to this point, you have been my disciples. You've been my students. You've watched, you scratched your head, you've done what I've told you to do, you've experienced amazing things, walking on water, water to wine, fish and bread, feeding thousands. This has been, you've seen the deaf hear, the blind see, dead raised. It's been pretty good school, right? But now things are going to change. From this day forward, when this power comes upon you, you're going to make a transition from being a student to being a doer. Up to this point, in Acts chapter 1, we call these boys who? The disciples, right? Next chapter, we'll see in a moment, what do we call them after that? The apostles. So from hearers and listeners and note takers to applicators of what God's word is. In other words, they're going from engagement to marriage. They're going to get in the swim with the real thing that's going to happen here. And everything changes. Now, this is on the 40th day, somewhere around there. It's 50 days after the resurrection that they're waiting. So they tarry, they go to Jerusalem and they wait. And on Pentecost, on 50 days after Passover, something happens. You know what that is? Let's look at it in chapter 2. It says this, verse 2, it says, suddenly a sound like a blowing of violent wind came from the heavens and filled the house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together, bewildered, because each one of them heard in their own language, began to speak. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't these guys all Galileans? Then how is it that we hear them in our own native language? Now that's pretty good, right? Now we know, we'll jump ahead a little bit. We know that the result of this situation, that over 3,000 people were born again this day. Now let's talk about this PA system. Because I mean, here we are using a microphone here in this small crowd. What PA did they have that Peter stood up and the whole city heard him, them? You know, and we know at least 3,000 men did, right? And they heard him. So, and not only did they hear him, they heard them in their own language, which again is a miraculous thing that's taking place. And now I want to show you something else in this. As this happens, they're all asking this, what's going on, and they're making fun of them. Verse 12, it says, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of him and said, they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice, addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you that live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you supposed. It's only 9 in the morning. In other words, he's saying, come back at 4. Then we'll be drunk. But right now, it's too early in the morning. I'm not sure about this group, but that's all right. All right, 9 in the morning. He says, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy and show wonders in the heavens and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Who is this masked man? Where did this boy come from? You know, this is the same guy that denied Jesus that, you know, just 50 days before, even once to a little girl and cusses her out because he doesn't want to get caught and arrested. Listen, the Romans are still looking for them. The Sadducees and Pharisees are still looking for them now more than ever because they can't find the body of Jesus, right? So they're looking to put this rumor to death, and now he's standing up before all of Jerusalem and telling them that this God, this Jesus that they crucified is the Son of God, the Messiah, the promised one. And now it was an opportunity for them to embrace and to encounter this power of God. I want you to see that when Peter became a believer, everything changed. It wasn't a part-time job anymore. If you look at it and throughout the scripture, when you read in the New Testament about the guys, and then they went home. Oh, then they joined Jesus the next day. Then they decided to go with him. It was like they were just hanging with him. They weren't committed to him. But when they became committed to the commitment, they put their lives on the line. And from that moment on, their job changed. No one told them, you should stick with this. You're going to become world famous. You know, nobody told them, you should write a book. Nobody told them. This is who they are and what they are, and it became the manifest presence of God in their life, right? Everything changed. Guys, when we come to Jesus, everything changes. If you think you can take God superficially, you're missing the boat. If you think you can just go along for the ride, you're missing the boat. Because what you have then is the hysterical middle, where you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. If you don't live in the fullness of God, you don't have the promises of God and the freedom of God, you don't have the benefits of the marriage. If you don't follow God, then the devil's out to chew you up and spit you out before you can get saved so he can keep you in hell. Well, what are we going to do here? Well, I'm just sort of a believer. I don't, you know, no. You know, people who say to me, I go, do you believe in Jesus? Well, I think he was a good guy. No. He was either the Son of God or the greatest liar that ever lived. True? So make up your mind. If he's God, he's God. If he's not, dump him. Because he's really corrupt. He's really wrong. Because he's deceived billions of people throughout time. Right? And we're all on the wrong path. But if he's God, then serve him as God. If he's God, give your life to him as God. He isn't just our Savior. He is our Lord. Now you guys, you know, you have a monarchy. You understand what Lord means, right? You know, sir means you're rich, you know, so on like that. You know, you live in, cause you can buy that. Yeah, I didn't know you could just buy the title. I'm looking. But anyway, then, you know, if there's any offering this morning, but you know, this whole concept of landlord, heart lord, that he dictates what goes on this land, right? And that's what we need to see. It isn't casual. It is a commitment to the commitment. I'm not sort of married. I'm married. You understand that? I can prove it. I have a brand. No, but it's like, you know, I am committed to the commitment. I know it's not because I wear the ring. It's not because I wear a cross. It's not because I have a paper sign somewhere. It's not because I carry a Bible. I am committed to the commitment. I love the one my heart's bound to. I love the one my heart is bound to. I speak of a great mystery, but when I speak of marriage, I speak of what? Christ and his church. It is not casual. It's a lifelong, well, it's actually eternal commitment. Do you understand what I'm saying in that? So this is it. Now, you know, Peter goes on and he shares this. He starts quoting, you know, and no offense to Joel, but he's talking about a third ranked prophet. You know, he wasn't like Isaiah, Daniel. It's like Joel. Joel who? You know, this kind of an idea. In fact, until he quoted this, people, there's a book of Joel. You know, I mean, you know, nobody even knew. But in that, as he talks about this power and he talks about this release, he says, in the last days, he's going to do more, right? And he's preaching it like that was the last days. Well, surprise. And it doesn't take a great theologian to figure out that we are in laster days than they were. Right? And so in that, if the power is poured out then, how much more is the power poured out now? But you see, God will not be promiscuous. If you want to see the union of your spirit, you must come to the union of your heart. All right? And then when that takes place, the whole game plan changes. You go from being one who's a spectator to a participant within life. You go from always a bridesmaid, never a bride. No, you get to go home with the groom. Does that make sense? And this is what the Lord wants to bring, is a transition. Christianity does not work as a religion, but it works as a relationship. And that's what he's saying, guys. Don't try to join the optimist. Don't try to join the Rotary, whoever else. This is not who we are. We are not a club. We are a family. And we're called to come together and be united and bear fruit and reproduce as a family. From our passion comes new believers. From our passion in life comes babies, right? You know that, right? You don't have to go into that. But yeah, that's how that works, right? So in that, in our passion in the spirit comes babies. It's not because we do 25 courses, 16s, you know, we can do. And listen, I think it's great. Anything that causes people to ask questions about Jesus, go for it. But let's bring them to Jesus and not bring them to an organization. Let's bring them to Jesus, not to a structure. Let's bring them to Jesus, not a methodology, right? We want to see the fullness of the manifest presence of God take place. Now we're going to go on here, and it says this. Listen, Peter preached an amazing sermon. He did. We know it's amazing because at the end of it, the people cried out, what must we do to be born again? How do we receive this message? Well, that's pretty good, I think. I mean, we actually have had that happen once, but you know, that's like 40, almost 50 years of ministry once. Okay, so not too good. But in that, where people at the end of the sermon cried out, what must I do to be born again? Right? I mean, when we do it, what do? We're going to bring the band back up. We're going to lower the lights. We're going to sing it 50 more times. You know, and if you feel so moved, come on up here, receive Jesus. Please come up here and receive Jesus. Look, please come, come. We'll give you a bike if you just come up here, right? Whatever you need, we'll buy you lunch. Please come on up. You know, we'll do everything we can do to woo people because we're not presenting the love affair. You know, we're not presenting the excitement of who he is and what he is. We haven't transmitted to the people. We haven't transitioned through that place of saying, no, guys, this is the best thing in the world. This is the best thing you could ever find. This Jesus who was crucified is your God, and he's available to you if you call upon the name of the Lord. He won't leave you hanging. He'll say, come on in. I've got you. And he'll enter our hearts. And you see, in that, it says then that after that, he continued sharing with them. And it says that over 3,000 men, you know, they didn't count the women and children. So I always say, if you do the numbers in modern day church, probably 500,000 people, if you add the women and children and got born again that day, 3,000 men came into the kingdom of God. It was amazing. And then if you go on, it just continues on. It kind of skips some space there, but he says, and that the people were filled with rejoicing and filled with awe because the apostles were doing many signs and wonders among the people. Healing and deliverance was taking place, and they broke bread day by day in each other's home, just like we did here. They broke bread in the remembrance of the Christ. And then they all were in that awe because of the healings and the deliverance. And it says then, and this is a big sign of revival, by the way, just to let you know, is that the people then brought their money, their property, their jewels, whatever they owned, and they laid it at the apostles' feet so that whatever the need was, it was met. See, when you're married and you're committed, you know, it's like, I don't say to Susie, honey, I need shaving cream. Well, I'm sorry, it's not in the budget. You know, if we're committed, we're committed, right? Yeah. It's her money's my money, and my money's her money. As she says it, what's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine. That's how she said, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right. So, yeah. But you know, it isn't no longer just I'm surviving. It's we're together and we're accomplishing this. And when we're in the kingdom and we've fallen into this love affair, the bank accounts merge. It goes to the kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, like people say to me, do you believe in tithing? I go, no, I don't. I believe you want to be a good Jew and be in good standing in the temple, bring your 10%. You want to be a believer? You should ask God how much you should keep. Because it all belongs to Him. And we're going to take another offering. I think we just have to now, okay? But that's, you know, because you're convicted. I can see, I'm going home. I don't like this guy. But that's how it is. It's no longer, I'm sort of committed. I'll take you out on a date, buy you dinner, and take you to a movie, right? No. We're spinning. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know that list continues on, right? And it's ever expanding, and it's ever demanding. You know, I'll give you my all. That's all every day, not all yesterday. True? And so it's all ongoing. So it says they brought it all. They laid it at the apostles' feet that any need that there was would be met. And then it goes on. It says there was great rejoicing. And I love this line, guys. And it says, and the Lord added to their numbers daily those that were being born again. Church, love is contagious, right? When people see people in love, you know, just like you guys, you know, singing and shouting, you know, what, you know, if you're here for the first time, you're going, oh, this must be the mental health center. You know, like they're all yelling and screaming, like, what the heck is that? You know, well, but when you're in love, how many of you watch your little kids dance? You know, when you're getting, oh yeah, we're going to have hot dogs or whatever, they just, and you think, what are they dancing for? What are they doing? Because they're unashamed and they can express the joy that they have over the pleasure of being in the family. True? That's what happens. That's what happens when you're in family. If you come here to be part of an organization, you're thinking, I picked the wrong place. You know, where's a better church? And you move on. But if you're looking for family and you're looking to be integrated in, hey, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, and you get the party on here. Right? And that's what it begins to take place, that we see this transition in our lives, that we go beyond superficial, but we go to the heart relationship. And it goes on and it goes on. We read through the whole book of Acts and we talk about this miraculous God. And guys, I just want you to understand that once you do this, and see, again, there's always these controversies about, oh, should we speak in tongues? Shouldn't we not speak in tongues? Listen, how did God birth the modern church? And then, like a rushing mighty wind, fire set upon their head and the fire marshals rushed in, right? Yeah. True? How do you explain that? You know, God didn't say, now everyone bow your heads and close your eyes. He said a mighty rushing wind rushed in and it filled them. And they became exuberant and they began to worship, that the whole city heard them in their own language. And they began to rejoice. And as they rejoiced, the people were like confounded by this presence of God. God doesn't do things like we think He should. His plans are better. You know, we would have done a 10-week course, right? In fact, we would have said, go back to Jerusalem and do Alpha. That's what we would have said, right? Right? We would have. But Jesus said, you go there, work out, talk it over, get in unity. Here comes Jesus, right? And there comes the power of the Spirit, and everything changed. When God comes and He takes our lives, He doesn't take just a portion. He takes it all. He's the owner. He is the Lord and the Savior of our lives. He doesn't want to just get you in the bus. He wants to give you a good seat. And He wants you to see the sights and take you to where you need to be. All right? So with that, as we walk through Christianity, several things here. Number one, a lot of people come to church and they think they're born again, or they think because they're guilty by association. But the truth is, we used to say this back in the 70s, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? You know, and that would be good. It's like, well, I think I know. I thought I know. Like, well, I'm going to go back to that first statement. And you shall receive power to be my witnesses. And what is a witness? Someone who can testify to what they know to be truth by what they've seen, heard, or experienced firsthand. Hearsay evidence is what you're hearing here, is what I'm telling you. It doesn't hold up in life. It doesn't hold up in a court of law, and it doesn't hold up in the kingdom of God. You must have your own encounter. You must become a witness. You need to have this power. You need to have this release. And you have to understand, you receive the Lord, and then the secondary step in that is, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's a left and right hand. It isn't just like, oh, I got it all. You know, no, it is. We can even look through Acts when the boys went out and they went to this, says, have you received the Holy Spirit? He goes, what? We didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? Well, what baptism did you receive? Well, we just received the baptism of John. What? You don't even know about Jesus? No. Okay. So they baptized him in Jesus. Then they baptized in the Holy Spirit and everything changed. You know, you understand that this is the full package. So we can't pick and choose. I don't know how many of you still mark in your Bible. Do you do that? You know, when I guess again, I don't know when it was, but we used to carry on big Bibles and you knew how spiritual it was by how many pages you had marked. Yeah. I didn't know that at first. I thought it was just, I had a black one. You mark out what you don't like. You know, nah, that ain't going to work for me. And no, not this one, you know. No, it is the whole word. It's everything for you in that. And in that, he says that this is the fullness of God. And he has it all for us. And that power is available for all of us. So it's more than just saying the prayer and getting your fire insurance. It's letting God take control and everything changes, that you would go from disciples to apostles in the kingdom of God. I'm not telling you to start going calling yourself apostle, this, that, and the other. But I am saying this. You need to make a decision that you're going to follow Jesus with your whole being, with your heart, mind, and soul. I'm going to get married, not because I gotta, but because I wanna. You know, I don't want to stay with the girl because I gotta. I get to. You understand what I'm saying? And in the same way, I don't follow God because Brian's going to call me, you know, if I don't show up at church. No. I want to follow Jesus because I can't stand being away from him. I want to be in his presence. If you don't know Jesus that way, there's a good chance you don't know him. You know, that love song, that release. And when you fall in love, it's amazing, right? And I think the Lord's asking for us to sing a new love song. Yeah, it's a great prophet, Paul McCartney, said. The world always needs another love song. True? What's wrong with that? And we need to see that song come out of our hearts. And not because it's on the wall, but we can't stop talking about what we've seen and heard, and that we've become true witnesses of the power of God. So this morning, as we're sitting here and we're looking at the church, the question is, what part of the church are you? Are you just dating him? You came here because somebody tricked you? You know, they told you they're going to give you wine and bread. Oh, I'm going. What? You know, it's grape juice, you know, right? Have you come for that reason? Have you been coming around and you've heard about this, you've watched these crazy people, but you've wondered what in the world's going on with them, and you haven't made that transition to your heart? The Lord would extend an invitation for you today to come and join him, to come and get married to him, to let him be the Lord and Savior of your life, that you believe that he died on the cross and he rose from the dead and he did it for you, that you might have life rich, full, and abundant. He's either God of all or not God at all, right? Because he's not a good guy if he isn't the Savior of the world. So make up your mind. Believe what you're going to believe. If he's the Lord, then jump on. If he's not, go find something else to do, because you're not going to find answers if you're not going to join him. You understand? You've been pending, what about this Holy Spirit thing? You know, notice there was no choice. When they said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm not sure I'm using the black marker on that one. No. Come, Holy Spirit. Bring healing to my life. Bring deliverance to my life. Just like you did on the first day you birthed the church. Birth me. True? All right. I think you understand. So this morning, if you're here and you haven't met Jesus, you don't know that you know that you know. Like Susie says this, we, on our wedding day 43 years ago, she doesn't remember all the people were there. She doesn't remember what we, you know, what we did, how many people, you know, all this. But she remembers she put on her dress and she came down to the front of that church and said, I do. She knows that she knows on that date, that's the day she sold out. All right? If you don't know that date, well, yeah, I think it sounds pretty good, personally. But you know that if you don't know that in your heart, then you don't know, because this is how it works. You must know that you know that you know that you know that you know, and if you know, then you know. You know, that's how it works. Now, it's heavy theology, but it works. It really is. And if you don't know, then you don't know, and you need to know. And so this morning, we want to give you the opportunity to make a transition from here to here. Now, normally, this is the time where, you know, again, we lower the lights, bring up the band. We say, now with every head bowed and every eye closed, and no one looking around, quickly, raise your hand, we won't tell. You know, really, you know, that's not right. You know, I don't say, yes, I love her, don't tell. You know, yes, we're married, but now we're not showing anybody. You know, no. This is the one my heart loves. So in that, I like to say it this way. With every head up and every eye open and everyone looking around, if you're not sure that Jesus is in your heart, we want you to give that opportunity for you to receive Jesus into your heart right here and right now. And how do we do that? I want to do that. That's all you're doing. And we're going to pray together. We're not going to make you, you know, we won't take your offering yet, but no, but we'll, but if you're not sure and you want to be sure that Jesus is in your life, would you raise your hand wherever you're sitting right now? We're not going to give anything away. Yes. Anybody else? Come on, guys. Yes. Good. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Excellent. Yeah. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do now, we're going to pray a prayer. And I want you to understand that it isn't magic words, but this is a prayer where we're saying we believe what Jesus said, that if we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth in Romans that this is the way into salvation, we're going to receive Jesus into our hearts this morning. Now I'm going to ask all of you that are already believers to pray with us out loud. For those of you that are worried, don't worry. He's got an amazing accounting system. No double entries. You know, he thought, what? I thought they were born again. What the heck's going on here? So he's got it. So he knows what's really going on here. But this is important, guys. This is important. Here comes Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. And I ask you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Take me lock, stock, and barrel. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be the one in control of my life. I ask you to forgive me for all the things I've done wrong. I don't want to go that way anymore. I want to go with you. So you take control. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. And I believe you did it for me. So thank you, Lord, for coming into my heart as you promised you would. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's give these guys a clap. What I'd like for those of you that raised your hands this morning to receive Jesus into your heart, to make that transition, and you know that you know, before you walk out of this room, we have a bunch of people who want to get your name, address, phone number, banking issues, and, right? That comes later. Okay, no. But see them, because we want to make sure you start your journey right. Just like a new baby, where I go, oh, great, they're born again. Let's go. Put them in the car park. Let's go. No. We want to nurture you. We want to supply for you materials that are necessary for you to grow in the kingdom of God. And these people are loving here. They're going to welcome you into it. And we'll do that. Can we do that? Will you guys do that? And you, let's say, and if you're not, if you don't know who raised their hand, we can do that again. Just raise your wave so make sure we get someone talking to you right here. See these guys here and here. Yeah, here, in the back. Come on. So let's make sure that they get, don't let them out that door until we get them, Yeah, it'd be a little awkward if you try to get out without it, but we'll stop you. But in the same way, guys, we want to see, just like Peter and the boys said, they said, listen, this power, this release of the Spirit, stop talking about the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit baptize you.
Amen.
Let Him fill you up. And in that, it says that when that happened, yes, they were filled with joy. They began to rejoice, but healing was in the house. Freedom was in the house. They had something to shout about because something was happening in their lives. Who's in? Yeah. So we're going to say, come Holy Spirit. If you want that infilling of the Holy Spirit, you want the release of the gifts, including your speaking in tongues, including praying for the sick, including prophesying, all the 9 gifts and a lot of the other ones that are on the peripheral. If you want to receive that filling of the Holy Spirit, would you raise your hands up together and say, come and fill me up. Come and fill me up. Come Holy Spirit. Bring life. Bring freedom. And we're going to say, Holy Spirit, come now. Bring release in my life. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I don't want to be sick and tired anymore. So come, Holy Spirit. Cleanse me. Free me. And fill me up. And I begin to worship you right now. In my new language. I worship you in the understanding and in my new language right now in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray right now you bring healing in the room. You bring deliverance in the room. Father, those things that we've been hanging on, break them off right now in Jesus' name. You want to shout? This is the time to shout. This is breaking off the stronghold right now. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Shout, the Lord has broken off those strongholds. Shout. Because He's delivering you today in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Bring life. Bring life in Jesus' name. And just as you're sitting there, just let the Lord begin to wash over you. Some of you need some things healed in your heart and your mind this morning. You don't need a big dramatic someone bringing you up and pushing you down. You just need Jesus to touch you right where you're sitting. Let Him heal your bodies right now. Let Him heal your mind. That depression. I want to break that rejection, that fear of the future, that spirit of suicide that has been dogging you. I break it right now in Jesus' name and we speak release. We speak release. That constant depression, we break its power right now. Those lies of the devil that says you don't have a future. We break that off of you right now in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Bring your power. Bring your glory. Bring that manifest presence of who you are and what you are in Jesus' name. That physical affliction, we speak healing over your body right now in Jesus' name. Whatever it may be, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, come, Holy Spirit. Bring healing. Bring healing in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Father, I thank you for those who have come into the family this morning. I thank you, Lord, that this is not just a superficial, praying some prayer. but it's a life-changing experience. Yes. Yes. And we mark it today that we said, yes. I do.
Yes.
Let old things pass away and all things become new. In Jesus' name. Amen.